Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This is the XFL Podcast. Of course, as you heard, I'm your host, Tron Hawkins. Got to get used to having that opening. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I know I made a podcast on Christmas, not saying the same thing, but again, I hope everybody has a great Christmas. This will be the last podcast of 2018. Hopefully, starting 2019, we start getting more news about the XFL. Start getting coaches, players, team names, team uniforms. I'm going to be ranking everything in 2019. The offseason really begins January 1st. It's going to be insane what the next year holds. Can't wait for the season to start. I'm ready to get my season schedule done. Once the season starts, I'm going to be doing a game preview episode, a game review episode, and then like a fantasy slash betting episode. It's really according to what kind of fantasy and betting they have on the XFL app and website. Pretty excited for everything that's going to be coming up. Thank you everybody for the great reviews. I posted some reviews on my Twitter at XFL Podcast and on my Facebook at XFL Podcast. Great reviews from all the iTunes users and everything. I appreciate it. It means the world to me. Again, I'm just one man making a show about football. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Tim Tebow. There's been a lot of rumors going around ever since the XFL got announced back in January about Tim Tebow. And I don't think there would be rumors about this unless Vince McMahon said in the first press conference when he talked about bringing back the XFL, it's about the quality of player and the quality of person. There is no better holy, just gentle spirit than Tim Tebow when it comes to football. I mean, he is a walking, just this holy person. Saint Tim Tebow. I mean, there is huge Tebow fans throughout. My coworker named their dog Tebow because they're a Florida Gators fan. Skip Bayless was just a nut hugger for Tim Tebow. Go back and watch on YouTube. Skip Bayless talking about Tim Tebow. He said he'd rather have him than like Aaron Rodgers and stuff back when Tebow was playing for the Broncos. You know, Tim Tebow was, he is a very decorated college athlete. I do think he got shortchanged in the NFL a little bit. I mean, he started pretty much just one season for the Broncos, led them to a damn playoff win against the Steelers, and then he got lambasted by the Patriots in the divisional round, and then he got replaced with Peyton Manning, and then he just never got a chance again. I think that's just weird. I think it's weird that he never got another chance to start in the NFL. Everybody wanted him to change the tight end and stuff like that, and he said, no, I'm a quarterback. It was just weird why he never got another chance in the NFL. So when Vince said that about the XFL, even when the XFL started rumbling, it's like, okay, it's Tim Tebow time. Tebow and Manziel was the two that came up the most, now Kaepernick. I don't think Tebow minds that it's for not that much money. I mean, I know they're getting paid $300,000, that's a lot for 10 games. To Tebow, it's not the money. I mean, he's got a minor league contract with the Mets. So I know it's not the money. He's getting paid a good bit by the Mets, even if it's a minor league deal. The thing that's going to stop him from signing, though, is baseball. Now, will the Mets let him sign and risk getting hurt? That's the question. Probably not. But if he loves football as much as he says he does, I think he will quit baseball and do this. If the opportunity comes up. So, I don't think they're going to sign him. I'm just going to get that out there right now. I'm just making this episode as a way to show why I think people have kind of jumped on this Tebow to the XFL bandwagon. Because the whole quality of player thing that came up. So, like I said, there's no holier person, no better person for football. And to be honest with you, there's no better person than the XFL. If you want to show people that this is different from the old XFL, that this is a totally new XFL, and that this is a new era, the face of the XFL needs to be Tebow. The face of Tampa's XFL team needs to be Tebow. I know it ain't going to go by region, but if Tebow got... I like to think Tebow will be the first pick in the XFL draft. I think that's a possibility that if he came out, that he would be the first pick in the XFL draft. So, let's talk about a little bit of Tebow. Believe it or not, I didn't know this until I started doing some research. He was actually homeschooled till college. Him and Jason Taylor, who used to play football, defensive end, won a case that allowed them to play high school sports in whatever region they had been homeschooled. That's how Tebow went from being homeschooled to being able to play high school football. They actually he actually fought for the rights for people, him and Jason Taylor did, to go on and fight for the rights of homeschool kids to get into sports, extracurricular activities, even though they've been homeschooled. Tim Tebow is the only Heisman Trophy winner to be homeschooled. I probably said that all wrong already, but yeah, homeschool is what I'm talking about. He's the first Heisman Trophy winner to be homeschooled, so that I did not know that. He was actually a backup for the first year or so. The Chris Leak. Him and Chris Leak kind of went back and forth as quarterback. And if you remember, they actually won national championship against Ohio State that year. He threw for a touchdown, a rush for another one, finishing with 39 rushing yards. That year in 2006, where he was the backup of Chris Leak, he actually finished second on the team in rushing yards. The backup quarterback finished second on the team in rushing yards. That's kind of unheard of. That's when you know he was a special player, though. And I remember watching that game against Ohio State. They blew him out. You know, they had a great team with Percy Harvin and all them. But I remember Tebow coming in. And it's one of the things where if it was at the 1 yard line, Tebow came in. You kind of knew what was going to happen. You know, Tebow was about to run, and he was going to do good. I think the main play I remember in him going to Florida, and I'm a Georgia fan, so I'm not a big Florida fan, but I like watching Tebow play, was the jump pass. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I even tried mimicking it one time in a pickup football game. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Probably his signature play. Joy of his career was a jump pass, I think. In 2007, you know, they kind of questioned if he could throw or not, which is crazy because he's a quarterback. So, I mean, he had to be picked up picked up as a quarterback for a reason. So his passing skills kind of turned into question. First game in 2007, his first game as a starter, he went 13 for 17 for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against Western Kentucky. In that year, he finished second in the nation in passer efficiency at 177.8. He also averaged 4.3 yards per carry on the ground. That year in 2007, he set the Florida record for single game rushing yards for quarterback, 166. SEC season rushing touchdown record with 20. Not quarterback rushing record, the SEC rushing touchdown record with 20. What's a damn quarterback? Career high single game rushing touchdowns. He had 5 that year. And he also set the SEC record for total touchdowns, passing and rushing combined with 55. So on November 24th, last game of the season, 2007, he played Florida State. He threw for 3 touchdowns and rushed for 2. They beat the shit out of Florida State, 45-12. It was later revealed after the game that he fractured his right hand, his throwing hand, and he finished the game. They was routing them, but he loved his team so much, he's like, don't take me out, even though we're kicking their ass. I want to keep playing. That's heart. He won the Heisman Trophy, of course. I mean, how would he not? He also won the Davey O'Brien Award that year, giving the best quarterback to the nation. He won SEC. He was an All-SEC selection that year and first-team All-American. He beat out Darren McFadden and Colt Brennan and Chase Daniel that year. He was also the first sophomore ever, now not the last, of course, to win the Heisman Trophy. He garnered 462 first-place votes and 1,157 total points. He beat out Dan McFadden by 254 points. That's insane. He became the only player, and still is, in college football history, to rush and pass for at least 20 touchdowns apiece. He had 32 passing touchdowns and 23 rushing touchdowns. So, he became the third Heisman Trophy winner in Florida history behind former coach Steve Spurrier and Danny Werfel. Let's see what else. In 2008, he was the favorite to win the Heisman again. On November 1st, 2008, playing against Georgia. Oh, yeah, they won the national championship that year, too. They won back-to-back national championships. I forgot to mention that in 2007. I think they beat Oklahoma that year, if I'm not mistaken. Sam Bradford and them. On November 1st, 2008, against Georgia, sadly, he rushed for his 37th touchdown in school in his career, breaking the school record held by Emmitt Smith. He helped the Gators go to 12-1 that year, won the SEC East again. They played against Alabama, who's number two team in the nation. I was wrong. 2017 season, they did not win the national championship. I apologize. It was 2008 that they won. So I apologize. They did beat Oklahoma, though. I was right about that. They beat Alabama in the 2008 SEC championship game. They got ranked number two, and they had a chance to play Oklahoma in the 2009 BCS national championship game, which they won 24-14. Tebow that year finished third in Heisman Trophy behind Sam Bradford, which he ended up beating that championship game, and Colt McCoy. He lost that despite having the most first place votes. It became points. I think since he had the most first place votes, he should have won. That's just me though. He won. He did win the Maxwell Award. He was the only player in history to win it twice. After the national championship game, he declared that he would not be entering 2009 NFL draft, but would then turn to the Florida. He actually had surgery on his right shoulder, remove a bone spur right after that. So 2009 started. First game of that season, he ran for a touchdown. In the third game of the season against Tennessee, he failed to throw a passing touchdown. That's the first time since his freshman year that he did not throw a touchdown. Also in that year, he stated that he was a virgin, which that statement came up for much discussion. I don't know why. What is your sexuality or, you know, whether or not you're a virgin or not have to do football? I don't know. In the game against Kentucky that year, he had a respiratory illness. Had to take two bags of fluid before the game. Ran for two touchdowns that game. Became second place on all-time rushing touchdown list. And he also threw for a touchdown. That's crazy. That man, he's a miracle. Like, not only is he a handsome man, no homo, he literally loves football so much, nothing will stop him from playing the game. Like, nothing will stop Tim Tebow from playing. On October 31st against Georgia, again, he killed us every year. He beat Herschel Walker's record by scoring his 50th and 51st rushing touchdown against the Dog. So he did it against Herschel's old team. In the SEC title game, he lost to Alabama. They ended up 32-13. They got beat pretty bad. That's what started the Alabama dynasty that game, sadly, Demi Tebow. In the Sugar Bowl, they beat Cincinnati 51-24. That was Tebow's last college game. He went for 31-35 passing, so much for not being able to throw. For 482 yards and three touchdowns. He had four total three touchdowns. He counted for four total and 533 yards of total offense, which became a bowl championship series record. He graduated from Florida that December. So at the end of his college career, he completed 67.1% of his passes for 9,286 yards, 88 touchdowns, 16 picks. Ran the ball 692 times for 2,947 yards and 57 touchdowns. The man was a beast in college. So let's jump ahead to the draft. And a lot of people didn't think that he was going to be drafted at all. Like, even as a backup. Some people, like, John Gruden said he was going to revolutionize the game. Tony Dungy said he'd pick Tebow in the top 10 over any quarterback in the 2010 draft. Mel Kiper, though, said believed that Tebow did not have the intangibles to be a quarterback. He said third or second round. Tebow was mentioned as a third-round pick for the Jaguars, his hometown team. Even the Florida governor suggested Tebow would be a remedy for the ticket sales at the Jaguars. Let's see. So, Josh McDaniels shocked the world and jumped up to the 25th pick in the draft that year and picked Tim Tebow. And everybody was like, why? Why do you pick him at the first round? At the end of the first round. He ended up signing a he set an NFL draft record for jersey sales and continued to have the top selling jersey throughout the whole 2010 season. On July 29th, Tebow signed a 5-year contract with the Broncos. It's $11.25 million. So nothing major. I mean, it's a lot of money. $8 million of it was guaranteed. He backed up. Let's see. He actually played 2 seasons in the NFL. He threw his first touchdown on a 5-yard running play against the Jets in October. On November 14th, Tebow threw a 3-yard pass to fullback Spencer Larson, became his first pass attempt for a touchdown. He didn't really get a lot of starting time. He started his first NFL game because he backed up Kyle Orton. He started his first game December 19th. He lost to the Raiders. He completed only 8 of 16 passes for 138 yards, including a 33-yard touchdown pass. He ran for 78, 40 of which came on a touchdown run. So he had big play potential. His first career victory was on December 26th. He beat the Texans 24-23. He helped rally the Broncos down from a 17-0 halftime deficit. The whole let me get past this real quick. He finished his rookie season playing sparingly. He only played 6 games as a backup. They had their own formation for it called the Wild Horse. It's like a wildcat he was in. He started last 2 games of their season. He passed for a total of 652 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks. He also rushed for 227 and 6 touchdowns. In those 3 games, he became the first quarterback in history to score a touchdown each of his first three, a rushing touchdown for each of his 3 career starts. He had big play potential. He wasn't fast like Michael Vick. Don't get me wrong. Like, he was a rushing quarterback, but he wasn't like, oh, catch me. He was just big. Like, he was a big boy. He was semi-athletic. For a while, dude. but, you know, he had big play potential, even though he didn't look like he did. He began the season 2011 as a backup, but after 1-3 start, Tebow replaced Orton. I had him on my fantasy team that year, Tebow. It's one of those things where they was getting their ass kicked, and then all of a sudden he would come back. The game I remember most was against the Dolphins. John Fox was coached then for the Broncos. They already got rid of Josh McDaniels after the whole why the hell did you have Tim Tebow thing. They was going to be 15-0, but in the last 3 minutes of the game, he come back and they won 18-15. Like, he led them 18 points in the last 3 minutes of the game. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They beat Oakland on November 6th. He threw 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. His passing totals were never high, but he was efficient. Let me see what else. They beat Kansas City the next week. He completed 2 passes on 8 attempts for 69 yards and a touchdown. Again, nothing major. Tebow was 9 for 20 for 104 yards on Thursday Night Football. And he beat the Jets. His numbers are never great, but he won. He was a winner. You can't take that away from him. You can't take away the fact that he was a winner. No matter where he went. Florida, winner. NFL, he won games. Like, there's no reason for that man not to be in the NFL right now. As at least a backup. I mean, I understand the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, why, you know, he might be kind of shunned from the league. But why is Tim Tebow not in the league? If you have an answer for that, leave it. Leave it on my anchor voice message. But why does this man not have a job? Why is he playing baseball right now? On January 8th of that year, they ended up winning the AFC West. So they got to host a playoff game. They hosted Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. In that game, Tebow had to come back. He threw for a career-high 316 yards and two touchdowns, including an 80-yard game-winning to Demaryius Thomas in overtime. On the first play of overtime, he completed 10 of 21 passes for 316 yards, setting a record for yards per pass attempt in a playoff game at 31.6. Of course, that invoked media sources to do the John 3:16, 31.6. It was insane. The next week, though, Tim Tebow completed 9 of 26 passes, got sacked 5 times, and got just curb stomped by the Patriots. 45-10 after the season, Elway confirmed that Tebow would be the starting quarterback in training camp. However, after the Broncos signed Peyton Manning that offseason, Tebow was traded to the Jets. He was just a backup. Rex Ryan and Tony Sperano said that he would be used in wildcat formation. That would be it. He would play some special teams. Tebow struggled, though, throughout the season and preseason. Even though Mark Sanchez struggled, they kind of wanted – fans wanted Tebow in. He suffered 3 broken ribs against Seattle that year. I mean, he hardly got to play. On April 29th, 2013, he was released. He got picked up by the Patriots. Everybody's like, oh, my God, he's going to do something. He didn't. He got cut by the Patriots. He thanked the organization, though, for the opportunity. He said he would be relentless in his pursuit of continuing his lifelong dream of being an NFL quarterback. He began his broadcast career for the C Network in December 2013. Tebow continued to look for opportunities. He signed a 1-year contract with the Eagles in 2015 to be in the competition with Matt Barkley for third-string quarterback. He played 4 games in the preseason that year. 21 of 36, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Also, rushed for 82-yard touchdown. He was released, though, on September 5th. So, here's his, here's his NFL stats. He completed 47% of his passes for 2,422 yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 picks. He ran for 197 attempts, 989 yards, 12 touchdowns. So, again, not great numbers by any means, but he won games. And I think wins should be the main statistic. I mean, why does it matter what your passing thing is, as long as you win? The Cleveland Browns would love to have Tebow. You know, like the teams that struggled to find a quarterback. Jaguars would love to have Tebow. I understand Denver cutting them because they got Peyton Manning. I get that. I understand. He's Peyton Manning. He led him to a Super Bowl win. Led him 2 Super Bowls total, 1 win. So I get it. But why does this man who has a pedigree of winning games not in the NFL? Well, I'll tell you what. He could be in the XFL. I think it's a possibility, but it's really got to do with baseball. You know, he signed with the Mets in 2016. But, I mean, it ain't like he's moving up or anything. Like, he's not moving up in the organization or anything like that. His wholesome image and stuff would be perfect for the XFL. I think that they need to try to sign him. They need to be in contact with him. I don't think they're going to be able to sign him. I think something's going to come up, like his baseball contract and stuff. But if you want to start a football league and you want to get your eyes on it, cause the reason why I don't think XFL can sign him, because you know the AAF tried. Like, you know they did. I mean, you had to know they did. Maybe the money wasn't enough. Maybe it is about money. But if Vincent Mann can talk to Tebow, I think he can talk to him anything. I think Vincent Mann could sell ice to Eskimos. So if Tebow can get signed to the XFL and be the face of the XFL, face for one of the franchises, that's a big first step for the XFL. Thank you for listening to this episode. Be sure to like my Facebook page at XFL Podcast. Like my Twitter, XFL Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave some reviews. Check out XFL2K.com. I'm going to be on there. Check out XFL2K.com's or XFL2K YouTube page. You can listen to me on YouTube now. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate you listening. It's going to get better. I'm trying really hard to get better at this. It's kind of hard to talk by myself, but I don't need no host. So the next episode, I'm going to be talking about what my week one would look like in 2020. It's going to be after the new year, of course. Got to spend time with the girlfriend. I might do it New Year's night, to be honest with you. It's gonna be about what games I would schedule, what cities would I put against each other. It probably won't be the longest episode in the world, but I want to kind of talk about why I would do each game. Leave me some voice messages on here. Leave me subscribe to my podcast. Leave some reviews for me. If you have any questions you want me to answer on the show, leave them to me on Twitter, Facebook, on here, on Anchor. I appreciate everything y'all do for me, and I hope y'all appreciate everything I do for you. Have a good night, and Happy New Year.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.